The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network, Visa.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM, where sports betting lives. You're in Hot 97 New York, somewhere hip-hop lives. It's where we are. It's Gil Alexander. It's Wyatt Tomchek in for Kelly Bidlin this week. How you doing, Wyatt? What's happening?
Good, Gil. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well.
Excited. We got NASCAR on at 9 o'clock today, so I got something to look forward to.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Hopefully you can get through these next 2 hours without being too distracted.
What are we talking about today?
Oh, we got stuff. First of all, Kelly not in town. Kelly and Bet Bash, not a big enough town for the both of them to be in the same town at the same time.
So, you know, North Carolina's calling his name.
North Carolina calling his name. Today on the show, it's Bet Bash week. Spanky's Bet Bash starting tomorrow in earnest. So we will have nothing but Bet Bash guests. Not nothing but a whole bunch of Bet Bash guests rolling through the studio this week. Super flattered about that because we're kind of on the other side of town. So the likes of Michael Craig from Right Angle Sports, Rob Pizzola from The Hammer, Matt Buckalter from Plus EV Analytics on Twitter, Jason Weingarten will be in studio, Ed Fang from The Power Rank, Rufus Peabody. We're looking forward to everybody being in studio. Today, though, the calm before the storm, but what a show. Paul Carr will join us to talk Premier League preview, all of his season-long bets in the Premier League. And, of course, he'll also have the postmortem on the United States women's soccer team's exit from the round of 16. Oh boy. What a brutal ending to what was probably their best game of the tournament. But you get to the penalty kicks after the nil-nil tie through the added time and the extra time. And we're up 3-2 after three of those kicks. Then a miss by Rapinoe. A miss by Sophia Smith. And Sweden makes their fifth and final shot to force extra kicks in the penalty kicks. Our goaltender Naher makes hers with a six. They match. And then, oh, Kelly O'Hara misses the seventh. And the double save that wasn't on the final shot from Sweden. And that, through VAR, is the determinant. We'll get the postmortem from Paul Carr, all of his Premier League stuff. If he has any Women's World Cup thoughts as well, we'll get into that. Aaron Schatz will join us to talk professional football. He is the editor of the FTN Football Almanac. We can't wait to have him. I just looked up at the screen. He was just on Good Morning Football. So a double booking. But we get him on the heels of Good Morning Football. Aaron Schatz, who has done this almanac for years in a new home now at FTN. We'll talk to him about all his season-long thoughts, including who their projections have as having the best record in all of football, who they have as having the worst record in all of football, which may surprise you even more. And, of course, bets to follow within all of that. Wes Reynolds will join us a little later to talk golf, FedEx Cup, what was this weekend with the Wyndham, and of course, in terms of the FedEx Cup, who got eliminated last? Just who would have thunk this some months ago? So we'll get into all of that with Wes Reynolds, his most controversial college and pro football takes as well. And Paul Sporer, by the way, baseball coming up. I do want to start with baseball, though, Wyatt, because, and this is one of those segments where it's so wonky, there's so many numbers, I'll just try to make sense of it. The goal of this exercise, because we've done this with Cy Young, with Tom Tango's numbers, we've done this with other sort of markets, but I wanted to, this weekend, try to assess between FanGraphs and Baseball Reference, where there wasn't consensus between those two websites through their models, and where we could find bets that still exist at this very moment that are the single best bets on the board when it comes to the division and to make the playoffs. We will use DraftKings numbers for all of this, but let's start with chances of winning their division in the American League. And really, when it comes down to the difference, there's consensus on most things, as you would imagine there would be. But for varying reasons, the likes of which we won't get into here because it would require a whole, deep dive into how Baseball Reference comes up with their numbers, how FanGraphs comes in with theirs, but it has to do with things like strength of schedule, run differential, and things far beyond that. But just suffice it to say that the four divisions where there is, the three divisions, I guess there's a fourth. The NL West is kind of a difference in opinion, which we'll get to momentarily, but let's start with the American League. There's a difference of opinion on who could win that division, the AL East, between Baseball Reference and Fangraphs. Baseball Reference has the Orioles winning that division 74.1% at that rate moving forward, and Fangraphs gives the Orioles a 48.3% chance of winning the division. That's a huge difference between those two services, 74.1% and 48.3%. You will also see that the Rays would make sense then in that same division. Baseball Reference only gives the Rays a 23% chance of winning the division, and Fangraphs, more in line with what the current standings say, have the Rays at a 43.6%. So if you see it on the screen, you'll see that Fangraphs has it pretty even between the Orioles and the Rays as the standings sort of reflect the current standings. And Baseball Reference has a huge gap between those two. Now, the Orioles currently stand three games ahead of the Rays here with more than a quarter of a season remaining. So the question becomes, is there a bet there? If you believe Baseball Reference's number that the Orioles have a 74.1% chance to win the division, then yeah, minus 165 at DraftKings would be a good bet. If you believe Fangraphs' numbers, by the way, it would be a bad bet. Because minus 165 is what you can get at DraftKings for the Orioles to win the division. If you believe the 74.1% at Baseball Reference is correct, that should be about minus 285. Now, with all of these things, do you take them sacredly? You shouldn't. And do I think Baseball Reference's numbers are probably a bit off? I do. So do I think minus 165 represents a great bet? I don't really gravitate towards that as much as I would some others. By the way, same exercise can be done for the AL West, where, again, Baseball Reference, we're talking about a division where the Rangers only lead the Astros by 2.5 games. 2.5 games, 3 in the loss column. Baseball Reference has the Rangers 80.1% to win the division, Fangraphs only at 48.8%. Baseball Reference has the Astros then commensurate with that 16.7% to win the division, whereas Fangraphs has them at the more reflective of the standings, 45.3%. So no real bet on the Astros at plus 120 to win the division either way. But again, if you believe Baseball Reference's 80.1% on the Rangers, then minus 140 would represent a great bet on them to win the division at DraftKings, because really it ought to be minus 400 based on the Baseball Reference number. Now, does that pass the eye test? And I'm a guy who loves the Rangers and had them pre-flop season win total over. It does not to me. So I'm not saying, you know, Baseball Reference's number. I guess the whole thing with this is, while I think Baseball Reference's numbers are probably a little out of whack, are they so out of whack in all of these that it wouldn't induce a bet? Here it wouldn't. Either with the Orioles or the Rangers, in my opinion, it wouldn't. But we're getting to one that would. And that's in the NL Central, where these are just so different between both Baseball Reference and Fangraphs. Baseball Reference has the Brewers, who lead the division currently, lead the NL Central by 1.5 games over both the Cubs and the Reds. Baseball Reference has them as only a 23.1% chance to win the NL Central. Fangraphs has them at 62.7%. So again, it's Baseball Reference that seems to be way off what the standings reflect or what the market is. So at minus 115, if you believe the Fangraphs number of 62.7% chance for the Brewers to win the division, the minus 115 price at DraftKings would represent a great bet, because that ought to be close to minus 170. It all depends who you believe here. But here's who I really wanted to hone in on. The Chicago Cubs. To win the division, Baseball Reference has the Cubs, who are 1.5 games back, tied with the Reds behind the Brewers, as a 60.5% chance to win the division. Fangraphs only has them at 25.9%. Again, it's the exact inverse of the Brewers. At DraftKings, you can get the Cubs to win the division at plus 195. Plus 195. At 60.5%, again, if you believe the Baseball Reference number, that ought to be minus 155 as opposed to the plus 195. Now, do I think, again, Baseball Reference is a little out of whack? Yes. But does plus 195 still represent a great bet to me? It does. And this on the heels of Mark Borchardt coming on this show, this is going to pollute it a little more, because he was just on a few weeks ago before the trade deadline, said 12-1, I love the Cubs to win the division. So try not to let that tear you off the point that it's still probably a good bet at plus 195. Still probably a great bet at plus 195. We'll go to make the postseason also, because these are fascinating as well. And again, without going into it one by one. There are incremental differences, and maybe there are slight bets. Like if you believe, you know, reference has the Yankees as an 8.6% shot to win, you know, to get to the postseason, whereas Fangraph says 21.4%, might there be some value on, you know, DraftKings has them plus 425. That's a bad number. Is minus 525 would be a good number on the Yankees to make the playoffs if you believe Baseball Reference only having them as an 8.6% chance. But like, I'm not going to advise you to make that. So let's get back to the Cubs. Once again, if you go to the Cubs, Baseball Reference, this is now to make the postseason. Baseball Reference has them as a 77.6% chance to make the postseason. Fangraph's only 43%. Their number is plus 105 to make the postseason. If it's 77.6%, that should be minus 345. So let's distill the Cubs. The whole point of this exercise was to really focus in on the Cubs. Per Baseball Reference, the Cubs should be minus 345 to make the postseason, minus 155 to win the division, as opposed to plus 105 and plus 195, which is where you can get them at DraftKings right now. And by the way, shop around, because I think BetMGM has an even better price on them to win the division, north of $2. Easier schedule remaining than the Brewers and the Reds. Better hitting, much better run differential. Brewers just split with the Pirates. Reds have zero pitching. That whole exercise, basically, to me, the best bets then would be, as out of whack as Baseball Reference's numbers might be, they're not so out of whack that those don't represent great bets. Cubs to win division. Cubs to make the postseason. We'll come back. Paul Sporer's thoughts on that and more in baseball. It's a numbers game at Beeson, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander, Wyatt Tomchek in for the vacationing Kelly Bidlin. Once again, Bet Bash not big enough. Las Vegas not big enough to have both Bet Bash and Kelly Bidlin in town at the same time. Wyatt, so far so good. You all right, man?
So far so good. Knock on wood. I haven't screwed anything up yet.
Oh, you'll get there.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm pretty good at screwing
the
stuff up.
The day is young.
It is.
The day is. Yeah, you'll be fine. Let's talk some NFL. And we're always pleased when we can have this gentleman on the show. He's been doing this show with me for years. Also, before that, the podcasts of Beating the Book. And, of course, Betting Dork before that, which was super generous of him back in the day, in the Betting Dork days especially. He's still doing his almanac, his yearly almanac, but at a new home at FTN. He, of course, is the founder of Football Outsiders. Ladies and gentlemen, pioneer in football analytics. It's Aaron Schatz. How you doing, Aaron?
Hey, I'm good. It's been an interesting year, but I'm all set, and we're happy to have the book out.
And I just want to let people know you're wearing the blazer because you were on Good Morning Football. You're not doing that for us.
Yes. I figured I might as well just leave it on.
How did it go? Did it go okay?
Yeah, absolutely. It was good. They were excited. They liked my Super Bowl pick. Oh. It was great to do TV.
All right, we'll get to that momentarily. Let me just ask you a macro question first. What I've asked some form of this in years past. I'll ask it again of you because I'm always fascinated. What have you learned through the years doing, not necessarily just the almanac, but, you know, also just analytics on a week-to-week basis that you didn't necessarily know when you started these? And how many years ago was that, Aaron, now?
I've been doing this now for 20 years.
What do you learn now? What have you learned here of late that you think you didn't know before?
Oh, I mean, there's so many things that we learn. I mean, one thing that I learned early on was that I felt like football teams were used more analytics than people gave them credit for back in the day. And then they were kind of slow to like come on with it. So like in the early days, they used more than people thought. And then analytics developed outside of the teams, and the teams didn't really come along. And then the Eagles won the Super Bowl. And once the Eagles won the Super Bowl, the analytics movement really exploded in the NFL between the Eagles winning the Super Bowl and the next gen stats, the ability to get that data out of the chips and the pads. So we've learned so much in the last few years. you know, some of the methods that have been created about things like expected running yards based on where the blockers appear on the field that give us a better idea.
Jeez.
That in fact, all running backs are not interchangeable. There are certain running backs that are better than other running backs. Just the differences are not as large as they are at other positions. But there's always stuff, new stuff to learn.
Are the ones that have been sort of vocal about running back pay this offseason some of the ones that do stand out, by the way?
Yeah, Henry, I think Chubb, obviously. But the ones who are currently free agents are not the ones that have stood out. And that's part of the reason why Ezekiel Elliott, Leonard Fournette, and Dalvin Cook are still free agents.
Interesting. All right. And then on the field, what do you feel like most NFL teams still fundamentally don't get as we enter this season?
They still fundamentally don't understand how good pass offense is now compared to the way it used to be. Teams are still too reticent to go for it on fourth downs, in part because they're afraid of what will happen if they fail, not understanding that the chances of success are higher now than they were 10 and 20 years ago.
Okay. Last year, when we talked about all your simulations to win the Super Bowl, I remember it was sort of an interesting year because you had the Bills winning the Super Bowl in slightly more than 10% of your simulations, which were the worst odds you had ever produced for the team that goes into a season with the highest odds towards winning the whole league. So again, they were your most, but in terms of historically, they were your least of the highest, if that makes sense. What do you got this year? Who's won the most of the simulations?
I have to open the actual simulation thing. What was I going to say? It's more of a normal year this year.
Okay.
Right. So our projections of how many times the top teams are going to win are much closer to what they normally are. And I can tell you that the team we have winning the Super Bowl the most, and this will shock people, is Dallas.
Oh, boy.
15.5%. Now, listen, here's the thing. There's no variable in the system for Mike McCarthy won a power struggle and kicked out his offensive coordinator and took over the offensive play calling. And, you know, we know that his offenses in Green Bay were very stagnant in the last couple of years as far as the route combinations. And I definitely understand where there would be some hesitation. In fact, I will tell you that my personal Super Bowl pick is not Dallas. That being said, people overestimate the importance of a playoff loss when they predict the following year, and they underestimate the importance of 17 games in the regular season. Like, you learn a lot more from a regular season than you do from a playoff game. So Dallas is still one of the top teams in the league. They're very good on both offense and defense, and they do, in fact, come out as our number one team in win projections this year.
Real quick aside before I drill down on that, who is your personal team to win the Super Bowl? Who's your personal pick?
I'm still going with Buffalo. I am riding the Buffalo bandwagon. I feel like one of these years, Josh Allen's going to do it. They're our number one projected team in DVOA. They're our number one projected defense. I know they have a tough schedule, but I just feel like they're going to do it one of these years. And I have them going up against the San Francisco 49ers.
I like that. Okay, so I'm looking at the Almanac. By the way, I was reading through it. It's so entertaining every year. Again, you know, comparing teams like the Cardinals to the movie Green Lantern. You'll have to get the Almanac to check what that's about. But the quotes of the year are always amusing. You delve into, you explain the analytics in a good way. It's a very readable. A lot of these, you know, pro football preview books aren't so much readable, you know, as this one is. And so I always appreciate that. But let's talk about that Dallas thing, because when you get to your full season win totals projections, you do have Dallas incrementally more. We're talking about tenths of a win, but Dallas at 11.1, San Francisco at 11.1. And while that might be, well, hearing that Dallas has your highest season win total might be shocking, it's not that far off from their actual season win total. So it shouldn't be shocking in that way. Kansas City, by the way, 10.9, Buffalo 10.8. Why is it that Dallas, though, let's just get to the crux, the nuts and bolts of why is it? Is it because of the division and the conference that they play in first and foremost?
Well, no, they have an average schedule. So it's not that they have a particularly easy schedule. Yes, it is easier to make the Super Bowl from the NFC than the AFC. That is for sure. That is one of the reasons why, you know, Dallas and San Francisco have more projected wins than Kansas City and Buffalo, because Kansas City and Buffalo have harder schedules. But, you know, this is the team that was number one in our ratings in 2021. They were number six in 2022. They've just been consistently very good, especially when Dak Prescott is healthy. And there's no reason to believe this team is going to fall off significantly. It's not like they lost a bunch of talent. In fact, they added an important piece on each side of the ball in Brandon Cooks and Stephon Gilmore. So there's really no reason to believe that Dallas is suddenly going to fall apart. They're one of the top teams in the league. Now, it's interesting because some places you get their win total at 9.5 and some places you get it at 10.5. Obviously, I'd rather bet it at 9.5, but you're going to win less. You know, the odds are not as good.
Okay, I'm actually even more interested than the bottom. So while you have the Cowboys and the Niners, by the way, if you want to bet on these things at a DraftKings, the Cowboys are 11-1 to have the best record in all of football. The Niners are 8-1. Just to relate that to a betting number. At the bottom of this season wins chart, this is perhaps even more interesting to me, Aaron, because yes, you do have some of the usual suspects, like, you know, in terms of projecting them under six wins. And I'll do this in reverse order. Indianapolis, 5.9. The Rams, 5.8. Arizona, 5.8. Houston, 5.5. And then I think this will be somewhat surprising to folks. The Bears, who are darlings of some here this offseason, you don't see it that way at FTN. You've got them as the worst at 5.4.
Yeah, I think I saw on Twitter that you were big on the Bears this year.
Oh, I
haven't. We're not.
Not me. Yeah.
No, somebody maybe you were quoting. Their defense is terrible. Their defense is terrible. It'll be a little bit better with now that they signed Yannick Ngakoue, but you know that's not included in the book projections. But their offense, look, a lot of it is Justin Fields has been a terrible passer for 2 years. And I know about his rushing ability, and I know that we all want to believe in him turning things around. Here's the wacky thing to me, the Justin Fields MVP talk. Let's imagine that in order to be MVP, Justin Fields has to be an average passer. Like, he's so good running that he only needs to be an average passer. Do you know how many quarterbacks in the last 30 years have been as bad at passer as Justin Fields for 2 years?
Oh, no.
And then above average in the third year? One. Jeff George in 1993. That is it. Sorry, in 40 years, not 30 years. Our numbers go back 40 years. So it is just really rare to be as bad a passer as Justin Fields and get your act together, even though, yes, he has DJ Moore now and the offensive line should be better. And we believe that he has talent and it would be fun. Like, I want to be wrong, but it's just very rare.
The Bears to have the fewest wins in all of football this year, 25-1 at DraftKings. So they're like the 13th team on the board, 25-1. So if you buy into what Aaron is talking about right there, specifically about Justin Fields, 25-1 on the Bears to have the worst record in the National Football League. Fewest wins. Let me be clear about that, on the Chicago Bears. We'll come back. So much more to talk about with Aaron for the FTN preview this year, the FTN Almanac, how you can get the Almanac, first of all, and then Coach of the Year thoughts, and the curious case, first of all, his favorite season win total, his favorite prop of the year, and the curious case of a couple teams in the NFC North we want to get into. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event, date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. For VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up today for only $19 for your first month at VSiN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. Always a treat when Aaron Schatz stops by, the pioneer in football,
yeah,
analytics.
Yeah. The pioneer, yeah.
Yeah. Man, read Bill
I'll
James.
I'll give myself a pat on the back.
There you go. You read Bill James as a kid. You're like, no one's doing this for football. I think I'll do it. There it is. There's his life synopsis right there in one sentence. Tell people, if you would, how they can get the FTN Football Almanac 2023.
Right. So it's a little different this year because I've left Football Outsiders. And so the almanac is with FTN, and you can get that at FTNFantasy.com. Look for the picture of Patrick Mahomes. He's on the cover of the book. Or you can go to NFLAlmanac.com. That will also get you to the page that describes the book. And if you want a sample, there's a sample chapter that is free to download about the Atlanta Falcons. So that's free if you need a sample of the book and what you are getting. It'll be on Amazon soon. Right now, it's the electronic version that's available, the PDF.
Since you bring up the Falcons, let me just go off the sort of range here for a second. A lot of people, this is just anecdotally, you know, we have a lot of people who have, you know, football guests. We have people at this network. A lot of people like the Falcons based on the division. Are you as high on them?
This is my favorite over of the year.
Oh, yep. Okay.
Yeah. We have Atlanta as an average team with a very easy schedule. Both Atlanta and New Orleans are similar. The difference is I think people expect it from New Orleans. They don't expect it from Atlanta. We think their defense is going to improve significantly with all the talent that they've added on defense, like Jesse Bates and Calais Campbell. We have their offense is slightly below average, but I think Ritter, you know, what he showed last year in four games was reasonable. And their schedule is just super easy. And so they average 10.1 wins in our simulation compared to a win total at the markets of 8.5.
All right. Over on 8.5 on the Falcons. What's your favorite under?
My favorite under is probably the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah.
Because they were so bad in our numbers last year. So bad. They were something like 26th in our numbers, despite being 13-4. And then they went out and lost talent this offseason. No more Adam Thielen, no more Za'Darius Smith. I like them to go under 8.5, despite the fact that they were 13-4 last year.
Yeah, I'm looking at the almanac right now. So 8.5 is their season win total. You have them at 6.4.
Yeah, 6 point is it 6.4 in the almanac?
Yeah.
It's bad. Yeah.
Okay. And so, and I guess we should talk about Minnesota then, coupled with Green Bay, because you are high on Green Bay. Their season win total is 7.5. You have them at 9.3. What's behind that specifically?
Yeah, with a little bit more variation, I think. That's why I don't like that one as much as the Atlanta one. But, you know, the expectations for Jordan Love, there's very little record from him. But I think you expect more from a guy who has a couple years of experience in the league than you do from a rookie. And we like the pieces around him. And we like their defense to improve this year. And then I talked again about schedule strength. Atlanta and New Orleans have the easiest schedules by far, but the third easiest schedule belongs to Green Bay, partly because we're not as high on Chicago and Minnesota as other people are. And therefore, we like Green Bay to go over 7.5.
Yeah. And if you buy into what Aaron is saying at 9.3, there's alternate ways, of course, to bet this, to make the playoffs plus 180 or 36% in the market, whereas you have them at 61% to make the postseason.
Yeah, we like them to make the postseason as a wild card. Definitely good chance. I think the plus 180 is nice. Also, that plus 400 on the division. I mean, we do have Detroit as the divisional favorite like everybody does. But again, because we have Minnesota and Chicago much lower than everybody else, that boosts Green Bay.
Do you happen to have your 14 playoff teams on tap right now?
I think I can tell you who they are. Yeah, if I go through, hopefully I don't make a mistake and hit multiple teams in the same
okay.
division, but I believe it would be Dallas and San Francisco, Atlanta, and Dallas, San Francisco, Atlanta. Which division am I leaving out?
Well,
that leaves out the North, which is Detroit.
Yeah.
And then the wild cards would be Philly, New Orleans, and Green Bay.
Okay. So no Seattle in there.
No Seattle in there, although they're the next highest team.
Okay.
And then for the AFC, Kansas City, Buffalo, Cleveland, and Jacksonville, with the wild cards being Cincinnati, the New York Jets, and Baltimore.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about the Jets, obviously, since they're the team of the offseason, if you will, ready to embark on Hard Knocks here this week on HBO. So you have them as a wild card. So the most, I guess the most surprising thing in there is that you have the Eagles and the Bengals as wild cards, deferring to the Cowboys and the Browns. Okay.
Yes, but heavier with the Cowboys than the Browns. The Browns and Bengals are very tightly close together in the projection. That's the best division in the league. We have the entire AFC North has an average projection over 9 wins.
What's at play with the Browns, if I might ask?
We like their defense to improve, the talent that they've added. Their offense has been good. Here's the thing, like, you got to believe in sample size. The fact is, the sample size of the Cleveland offense being good with not such great quarterbacks is 3 years, except the last 6 games of last year. And the sample size of Deshaun Watson being good is like his whole career, except the last 6 games of last year. So what do you believe in more, those huge sample sizes or just the last 6 games of last year? You have to believe more in the larger sample sizes, which is Kevin Stefanski runs a good offense. Deshaun Watson runs a good offense. Now they're working together. This should be a good offense. Also, they have an easier than average schedule.
So the Seahawks of the AFC, if you will, in other words, the team that a lot of people think will make the postseason, the equivalent in the AFC would be the Dolphins, I guess. You don't have them in there.
Yeah, we don't have the Chargers. We have the Chargers pretty close. The Chargers should be very competitive, but they've got a tough schedule. Miami is interesting. We see their offense declining a little bit, regressing, just because it's just very rare for a quarterback to average over 13 yards per completion in 2 straight years. That's just very rare. And on defense, I think everybody is expecting you bring in Vic Fangio and everything becomes stellar all of a sudden. And that's not actually Vic Fangio's history. He's had a number of teams where he came in and he turned the defense around, but it took time. It didn't happen automatically in the first year.
Okay. Coach of the year. You have some thoughts here. People obviously can bet on this.
Yeah, I would say Arthur Smith because of the way I feel about the Atlanta Falcons. My guess is that if Atlanta makes the playoffs or even wins the division, that most of the voters would say, you know, not consider the schedule too much and be like, look at my God, Atlanta won the division. Who would have ever seen that happening? So I like that more than I like Denver to win their division, you know, which would win it for Sean Payton. Obviously, he's at plus 900. Smith is at plus 1400. You know, the favorite is Campbell at plus 850. And I do think Detroit will win their division. So that's probably a good bet, but not a great one because of the odds.
Yeah.
The Belichick at 25-1 is interesting because I find the Patriots are the worst team in that division. But my guess is that their chances of winning the division are more like 6 or 7%. And if they win their division, Belichick will win coach of the year. So coach, he's actually not a bad bet at 25-1 just because it should probably be more like 15-1.
Yeah. If you believe in the Patriots, I can see how the sentiment, the pendulum.
Even if you don't believe, you don't have to believe in the Patriots. You just have to believe that if they did pull it off,
yeah,
Belichick would easily win the award. And I do think that that is the case.
Yeah, because the pendulum on him has swung to somewhat now of the underdog without Tom Brady. So I could see that sentiment, that wave sort of growing. Last thing here, because we only have 30 seconds left. Was there a stat that you uncovered in doing the Almanac this year that even blew your mind where you're like, I can't believe this is the case. Let me recheck this.
It didn't blow my mind, but I think the most important stat in the Almanac is that Washington and the Jets had top 10 defenses despite not having takeaways. And that means it is much more likely that their defenses will stay good this year because their defenses will have the takeaways this year that they didn't have last year. And I know you like to hear that about Washington.
I sure do. And of course, they drafted Forbes, who was known for takeaways in college. So hopefully that translates to the pro game. Aaron, always a pleasure. One more time, how they get the Almanac, everybody.
FTNFantasy.com is the new home. It's the FTN Football Almanac 2023. Look for the picture of Patrick Mahomes, $34.99 for the PDF. The Amazon copy will be available in a couple of days for $39.99 for a printed book. But go to FTNFantasy.com for the PDF and the sample free sample chapter of the Atlanta Falcons.
Congratulations again, Aaron. Appreciate you coming on, man. We'll talk quarter mark of the season. How about that?
Talk to you at the quarter mark. You got it.
My man, Aaron Schatz. Once again, everybody on the show. Wes Reynolds joins us on the other side to talk golf and his most controversial football takes next.